Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on John 10, our Gospel reading, and 1 John 3, also our Epistle reading, and especially on our focus today, Jesus as our Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, send down your Holy Spirit on us this day as we meditate on your Word. Lead us and guide us through it like a good shepherd leads and guides his sheep. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I recall a number of conversations with my dad growing up about sheep. My grandpa would often have us up on the farm helping out in some way with moving sheep or tailing or branding or shearing or something like that that some of you know far more about than I do. But we got to do a bit of that as kids. And I recall during these times having many conversations with my dad about the nature of sheep. And this is how it would usually go. I would make a disparaging comment and he would rush to their defense because he grew up with sheep and he loved sheep. All right? So I would say something like, why do they just follow each other all over the place? And he'd say, well, you see how that's very helpful for the farmer that they do so that they can move them easily from paddock to paddock. And I would say something like, but why do they always get their heads stuck in the fences and their wool on the barbed wire and things like this? And he would explain it, well, they're just looking for feed. You see how this paddock's very dry and they're looking for where their next feed will come from. And I'd say something like, Dad, why do they jump over imaginary objects? Right? And he'd say something like, oh, you know, so that when there's a real object, they're ready, they know how to jump, something like that. You get the idea. I was a bit disparaging, he was a bit defensive. Looking back, I can see that we both had a point, that sheep have some very good attributes, they have some not so good attributes as well. I think this is helpful when we come to Scripture and when we realize that again and again and again throughout the Bible, God's people are compared to sheep. Far more than any other animal, perhaps far more than any other thing, full stop, we are compared to sheep. Old Testament and New, Jews and Christians, from Psalms to prophets to the apostles, God's people are described as the sheep of his pasture, the sheep in his care, again and again. So picking up on this kind of extended metaphor throughout Scripture today, I want us to consider the potential of sheep, the good side, the problem of sheep, the not so good side, and then the purpose of the shepherd and the plan of the shepherd, all as it relates to our relationship with Christ, our good shepherd. Firstly, the potential. Sheep are, in many ways, very special animals. You might not agree with me, but Dad convinced me over the years that sheep are very special animals, very good animals in many ways. In the ancient world, this was even more so. Sheep were very valuable animals for their wool, for their meat. They were very valuable. A lost sheep was a big problem to a household, to a shepherd, to a farmer. Was a big problem, not just emotionally a problem, but economically a problem to have a sheep go missing. The sheep were the livelihood, right? That's what they had. That's what they lived off. And so a lost sheep was a big issue. Sheep were valued. Sheep were valuable to the shepherd. And again in the Bible, we are compared to sheep. So what we realize, first and foremost, is that we are valuable to the shepherd. We are precious to the shepherd. We are important to the shepherd. The second potential that sheep have is to follow and to learn the voice of their shepherd. Now, this was generally very helpful, even more so in the ancient world than it is today, because talking about a world that didn't have utes and sheepdogs and a lot of fences, and they were out in the open plains. And so for the sheep to be able to follow and listen to the voice and hear the voice and learn the voice of the shepherd made a huge difference, right? And in those days, the shepherd didn't drive the sheep from behind, which is kind of how we work with sheep these days, but they lead the sheep from the front. The shepherd would go on ahead, would call to the sheep, and they would follow along behind. My sheep listen to my voice, Jesus says. I know them and they follow me. This is the great potential of sheep. This is our great potential as human beings. Firstly, that we are very valuable. Secondly, that we have the ability to listen and learn and follow. to the degree that we listen to the voice of our good shepherd, to the degree that we learn his call and his word, to the degree that we align our own path with his, we recognize that potential in our lives and we see that true value that we have and that he has put within us. That's our potential. What's the problem of sheep or with sheep? There's quite a few, right? And you know that sheep have a few issues, okay? Sheep go when they should come. They come when they should go. They jump over things that aren't there. They run into things that are there, right? This is what sheep are like. Sheep have a few issues. Pastor Tim Keller says, sheep are always underestimating or overestimating their own ability, what they're capable of. Does that sound familiar, I wonder? Either overestimating or underestimating our own ability. An example, when sheep sense danger, when they sense danger, their tendency is to scatter, to run. Now, this is a really bad idea for an animal that has absolutely no way of defending itself from danger, right? The only defense a sheep has is, number one, the shepherd, the farmer, and to a lesser extent, the flock. Right? That's its protection. And yet danger comes and it takes off. Not very smart, okay? But this is what sheep are like. They're always overestimating or underestimating their own ability. They don't have great self-awareness, we would say. I think human beings are similar. We sometimes lack self-awareness. We don't understand what we're capable of or not capable of. And so at times we become our own worst enemy. And I want to pause on that point for a moment. Sheep are often their own worst enemy. Human beings are often their own worst enemy. We say yes when we should say no. We say no when we should say yes. We run from things we shouldn't and we run towards things we shouldn't. And this is in our nature. This is part of who we are. When danger comes, when we feel up against the wall, we run from the very things that can help us. The good shepherd, the flock. Instead, what we do is we isolate ourselves and then we're in greater danger than we even were to begin with. This is part of who we are. I just want to reread part of 1 John 3 to you that Jasmine read to us earlier. It says this, "Let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are of the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything." If our hearts condemn us. This is the verse that really stood out to me as I read these Bible readings earlier in the week. If our hearts condemn us. Don't our hearts often condemn us? Aren't we often our own worst enemy in this life? You know, we tell people to listen to their hearts, follow their hearts, you know, do what's in your heart. And John says, wait a minute, the heart condemns us, right? That's what the heart does. Says to us on one hand, you're not good enough, right? You don't matter, you're not that precious, you won't amount to anything. Right, that's what the heart does. Or on the other hand, it says, oh, but you're too good for them. Right, forget about them. Don't worry about them. You've got to look after yourself. Take care of yourself. What's the heart doing? The heart just condemns and condemns. Right, either us or others. It judges. It plays tricks on us. It leads us astray. And this is what we tell each other to listen to. Right, John does the opposite. He says, when our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. Listen to the voice of the shepherd, the external voice, the greater voice, the better voice. Right? Don't follow your hearts, follow his heart. This is what John is impressing on us in our epistle reading today. And I think it ties in with that theme of the good shepherd, listening to the voice of the good shepherd. Our own hearts tend to condemn us. The voice of our good shepherd brings us refreshment and release and forgiveness and grace. Perhaps we need to stop listening so much to our hearts and following our hearts and rather listening to the voice of our good shepherd all the more. If our hearts condemn us, John says, God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. God is greater. God knows better. God interjects. God overrules. God pulls us into line, right? Pulls our hearts into line. Gives us a better self-awareness than we have apart from Him. Points out our problems to us. He won't tell us just what we want to hear. He'll tell us what we need to hear about ourselves and our life in this world. And He'll never tell us to just follow our hearts, because He knows how dangerous that is. Instead, He'll tell us to follow His heart, a better heart, a better voice, a good shepherd. So what is the purpose of the good shepherd? What is the purpose of the good shepherd? No less than five times in this gospel reading, and at least once as well in the epistle reading, it says that the purpose of the good shepherd is to lay down his life for the sheep. Again and again. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, it says. I lay down my life for the sheep, Jesus says. I lay it down in order to take it up again. I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down. What's he talking about? Why does he keep going over and over this same point? Then in 1 John 3, this is how we know what love is, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. The good shepherd doesn't love just in words or speech, but in truth and in action. When he sees the wolves coming, right, the threat coming, what he does is to put himself between the sheep and that threat, that danger. It's not just risking his life, right? It's not just putting himself in harm's way. That's part of it. But this is what the gospel writer says is laying down his life. Because when you put yourself between a pack of hungry wolves and their evening meal, what's going to happen to you? It's not just a risk, right? You are taking a fall on behalf of those sheep. You're done for. Right? And Jesus knows that. And we look at it, we look at the image at least, and we think, that's crazy, it's ludicrous. What are you doing? They're just sheep. They're just sheep, don't worry about them. Jesus says, no, they're my sheep. Right? And they're valuable to me, and they're precious to me. And so I will put myself between them and any danger that is coming, even the danger of themselves. Right? I will die in their place. I will die for them, on their behalf, instead of them. Right? That's what Christ does for his people. When our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. And so we read in Scripture, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So we come to Christ, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't condemn us, and he is the good shepherd. He is the voice we are called to listen to. Martin Luther says, in this single little word, shepherd, we have gathered together almost all the good and comforting things that we praise about God. In this one little word, shepherd. It's all there, the guiding voice, the loving care, the gentle correction, the life-giving action. It's all there in this one little word, shepherd. And the shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's his purpose. What's his plan? What's the plan of this shepherd? This is what it says in John 10. I have other sheep, sheep that do not belong to this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. The plan of this shepherd is to reach out beyond the flock, right? Beyond Israel, initially to the Gentiles, but also beyond the walls of our church. He's not here just to look after the ones in the fold. He's here to break open the walls as well and go out to those who aren't in the fold, to seek and save the lost sheep as well. The wandering or wayward lambs, the headstrong rams, whoever they are. He says, they are already mine. I have other sheep. They're already his. Now he says he just wants to bring them in to the fold. Right, to live with them, to dwell with them like he lives and dwells with us also. They will listen, he says. And of course, he will use us in this process. He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. We ought to. Right? It's a beautiful word in the Bible. We ought to. It's not we're compelled to, not we're forced to, not he's going to make us. It just says we ought to. This is who we are, because this is what we learn from our good shepherd, and this is the path we follow, the path of laying down our lives for each other, putting ourselves in harm's way for the people around us as well, like he did for us. Doug McMillan describes what it can take to track down and to bring home a lost sheep. And this is what he writes. You know, even when you find a lost sheep, it's very difficult to round them up. For sheep run to and fro in a panic. And when you find them, you must seize them. Throw them to the ground. Tie their four legs and their hind legs together. You must throw them over your shoulder in order to get them home. Now, I'm not suggesting we use this as a blueprint to bring people into the church, right? But I think you see his point. We look at the pictures, the images of Jesus, our good shepherd, and it all looks very tranquil and peaceful and lovely, and it is on one hand. But this guy says, and I think he's a farmer, right? So he's got the experience, and he says that the real experience of going out and getting a lost sheep is really hard. It's tough work. Right, but the farmer does it because he sees the value of that sheep. And when he finds it, it's hard going as well. It's not an easy process. It's not easy on him. It's not easy on the sheep. But he says, this is what you do, right, for the ones you love. This is the hard yards you put in. It's not all easy. It's not all smooth sailing. But you get your hands dirty, just as the good shepherd gets his hands dirty for us. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He gives everything for it. Not just that he did, which he did, but that he does, he continues to, and his plan is to keep doing it more and more. He carries out this plan through his precious word and his sacraments, which we'll share again this morning, his process, his plan to seek and save that which is lost. When our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. We have a good shepherd. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have sent your Son to us to be our good shepherd and to lay down his life for us and to continue to call us to follow him and to go where he leads. Help us to take up that call each and every day and to listen to you and to lay down our lives for others as you have laid down yours for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.